For those of you to whom it applies, I want to begin this morning by wishing you a very happy Father's Day. The celebration of Father's Day actually traces its roots back to the Middle Ages, when the Franciscans first began encouraging the church across Europe to use the Feast of Saint Joseph, who was, of course, the earthly father of Jesus, as an occasion for reflecting upon and honoring the importance of fatherhood in society. And although the vast majority of countries around the world now observe Father's Day in June, there are still several predominantly Catholic countries, such as Italy, Spain, and Portugal, that still celebrate Father's Day on the 19th of March, which is the Feast of Saint Joseph. But whenever it's observed, and in similar fashion as Mother's Day does for the contributions of mothers towards their families and society, Father's Day is an occasion for celebrating the caring efforts and initiatives and contributions of our own fathers, and indeed of all the fathers and father figures that surround us, including stepfathers and grandfathers, fathers-in-law and our male mentors, uncles, and even big brothers. And while Father's Day can, without question, be a difficult day for those dads who have lost or lost contact with a child, and for those who lost a father or a father figure, and can be even harder still for those who perhaps grew up without a father, or grew up with a father who was difficult, or dismissive, or absent, or abusive. Father's Day remains a day for us to honor the gifts and memories of those men who have helped to positively shape our lives, even as we grieve the flaws of those who failed to fully do so. But above all, it's a time for us to focus upon and to strive to emulate in our own nurturing relationships those charisms and qualities that we might all hope to find in a good and loving father figure. Gifts such as devotion and constancy, strength and integrity, goodness and compassion. Gifts that I know I have been blessed to see and to celebrate in my own father, and gifts that I pray he has imparted in some small way to me. You know, fathers, and mothers too for that matter, sometimes have a unique ability for seeing gifts and goodness and potential in their children that others, and even the children themselves, sometimes find it harder to perceive. And while this may be a symptom of that old adage that love is blind, it is unquestionably also an important source of encouragement and inspiration that can nurture in a child a vital sense of self-worth and responsibility, a deepening respect for oneself and for others, and the grace to accept who we are and to become all that God calls us to be. And I would suggest to you that this is precisely the way that our heavenly parent, God our Father, God our Mother, looks upon each and every one of us, loving us, warts and all, and leading us to be the children of God that we truly are and that we are also meant to more fully become. So fittingly, I suppose, on this Father's Day, our scriptures all speak about the surprising potential for growth and for grace that also, although sometimes hard to see, are the very bedrock of our faith and the building blocks of God's kingdom. Our lectionary readings from the Old Testament during this part of the church year follow the stories of the kings of Israel and Judah. And we began this saga last week with the story of the anointing of Israel's very first king, King Saul. And we also learned very quickly that Saul lost favor with God. Because in addition to his personal failings as a leader, Saul in many ways also represented Israel's rejection of God as king and their preference instead for having a temporal king, just like the other nations that surrounded them. And so this morning's reading begins with God confirming to the prophet Samuel that Saul is to be replaced as king. And so God sends Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint a successor for Saul from amongst the sons of Jesse. And one after one, in their strength and stature, the sons of Jesse are presented to Samuel from eldest to least. And one after one, we learn that none of these sons is to be the Lord's chosen. Because as the text tells us, God does not see things the way that mortals do. God focuses on the heart rather than on outward appearance. And so finally, almost as an afterthought, the youngest of Jesse's son is brought in from minding the sheep. And the Lord declares to Samuel, "This is the one. Rise and anoint him." And so there, in the presence of his father and his older brothers, David is anointed by Samuel to be king. And we're told in the text that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him from that day forward. God surprises everyone in this story. And in choosing David to become king, God not only overturns the newly established order, but does so in a way that challenges their very assumptions about the world and about its values. David not only represents new leadership, but in his youth and in experience and humble origins, he also represents the favor that God shows for the meek and for the marginalized. But instead of choosing a new king from amongst the princes, the princely sons of Saul, or even from the established military leaders of Israel, or even from amongst the older sons of Jesse, God chooses the youngest, a lowly shepherd boy with no apparent qualifications to be a king other than the Lord's favor. And so this passage contrasts clearly the way of human seeing with the way of God seeing. And it reminds us of the surprising potential for growth and for grace that, although sometimes hard to see, are unquestionably at work in our midst and in our lives. And this same idea is underscored in our second reading this morning, where St. Paul declares to the Corinthians and to us that in Christ there is a new creation. And that we should therefore not regard anyone from a human point of view. And that we should walk by faith and not by sight. Because God continues to surprise and challenge us to both look for and to become signs of God's radical transformation in the world, such that everything old has passed away and everything is made new in the life and in the love of Christ. And in our reading from Mark's Gospel this morning, we hear two parables of Jesus, in which Jesus seeks to teach his disciples about the surprising potential for growth and for grace that characterizes God's kingdom. "The kingdom of God," Jesus says, "is like a man who scattered seed on the land. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed," Jesus says. And what is sown as tiny seed in these two parables, by the grace of God, produces an amazing harvest in the one and the greatest of all shrubs in the other. And Jesus is making the point here that in God's realm, it is so often that which may seem small and insignificant that by the grace of God can work a world of difference. Because in God's realm, not only does a young boy become king and a small seed become a great harvest, but a tiny group of ordinary disciples also become an extraordinary community of enduring faith and witness in the world. Because in God's realm, a small baby born in a small town in a small country becomes the very one upon whom all human history for eternity hinges. Today's scriptures remind us that as small and insignificant as we can sometimes feel, we too are being called upon to see and to be a part of God's surprising and grace-filled kingdom. A kingdom that's right here and right now. A kingdom that will also come in fullness in God's good time. A kingdom where a small gesture can make a huge difference. A kingdom where a simple word can change lives and relationships. A kingdom where a small gift can represent immeasurable love. A kingdom where a tiny group of disciples can still become a courageous and caring community of faith that can still challenge and change the world in which we live. And when it comes to living and loving as part of the realm of God, our greatest problem is not that we're not enough. It's that we too often fail to see the potential and the possibility that God has planted in each and every one of us. Like the tiny mustard seed, like the youngest son, we may not seem like much, but our scriptures this morning remind us that God sees and believes otherwise, and that God calls us to see and believe otherwise too. Because in a world that is filled with so much negativity, selfishness, and fear, God calls upon each and every one of us to sow the seeds of God's faith, God's hope, and God's love. And as Mother Teresa is often said to have noted, while not all of us can do great things, we can all do small things with great love. May it be so. May we work to make it so. Amen.